American dream right now is really elusive for far too many people in terms of even aspiring to own a home. It's too expensive. We don't have enough housing. We have a housing shortage. So part of my plan is to work with the private sector, with builders and developers, to build 3 million more homes by the end of my first term, and to give first-time home buyers a $25,000 down payment assistance so they can just get their foot in the door to home ownership, which is the fastest and the most efficient way for people to build intergenerational wealth.
Well, Kamala Harris on Stephen Colbert's show last night was just lamenting about how hard it is right now in the United States of America. The American dream is elusive. I wonder what we could do about that. Let's talk to our friend Tim Murtaugh, joins us once again, Donald Trump advisor, Washington Times opinion columnist, and his book, author of Swing Hard. Tim, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you here.
Good to be with you, Annie. Thanks very much.
So we've seen Kamala Harris try to get out there and have some conversations, do some interviews with, you know, hard hitting journalists like The View and Stephen Colbert. And I'm wondering what you've gathered from her ventures there. What kind of message she's sending to the American people?
Well, what I'm gathering really is that she should not have done this media blitz if she cares at all about trying to win this election. It's what an utter and complete catastrophe. And I truly am not saying this from the perspective of somebody who works for her political opponent, Donald Trump. I say it from someone who watches politics. It was a complete and total disaster. She goes on The View, and you will not find a more sympathetic crowd of hosts on any show anywhere. This is the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris fan club, the people who host The View. She goes on there and they gave her an opportunity. It should be seen as an opportunity that she blew to ask her the question, how are you different? What would you do differently from Joe Biden? And her answer was, I can't think of anything. Nothing comes to mind. And as a matter of fact, all of those decisions that Joe Biden made, I was right there with him, helping him make those decisions. What an absolutely horrid, horrid answer. Everyone knows that America is fed up with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the administration. And heck, the central message of her campaign is that she represents change, right? She claims to be the change agent. And so when served up that question on a silver platter, okay, what would you do differently? She says, basically nothing. I wouldn't change a thing. Everything's been fine. What an unmitigated disaster. And then she goes on Colbert later in the day, and you know, they taped that show about 7 hours after she appeared on The View, and Colbert gave her a chance to clean it up and give it a go again, and he asked her the same question, and she still didn't have an answer. It's absolute campaign malpractice. For the one, they think, well, we can't hide her from the media forever. Let's send her out there to some friendlies. Mm-hmm. And then they don't have her ready to answer that most basic of questions, which actually is central to her whole argument. What a god-awful candidate she is. This is what happened to her in 2019, and it's why she didn't even make it to the Iowa caucuses back then. Yeah. She's just bad.
So she is. She is just bad. We're speaking with Tim Murtaugh, as a Donald Trump advisor. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, if I'm running for office, I have a way of, you know, I do this for a living, I talk for a living, I'm going to be able to answer things on the fly. But if you're a candidate, you've got to know, you've got canned answers for things because you want repetition. You want people to be able to hear that you're consistent on those things. So it's boggles my mind that A, she couldn't come up with something to say on her own, but B, also that the people around her haven't pumped into her exactly what to say in a way that doesn't disparage Joe Biden, but also pumps up the excitement of another, you know, a fresh face on a new campaign. Do you put this on her? Do you put it on the campaign? Where's the responsibility here?
Well, ultimately, the responsibility is hers because it's her name on the ticket. She is the candidate. She's allegedly leading a presidential campaign right here at this moment. And let's not forget, she is the incumbent vice president of the United States. We expect someone who holds that position to have some modicum of wherewithal to be able to come up with something on the fly, or maybe even, God forbid, think of things in advance. Now, the fact that her campaign has really been built on the fact that, yes, I've got this great experience. I've been right here. And also, I'm going to take us in a new direction. I'm this new generation of leadership or whatever nonsense that she says. And her campaign staff has not drilled into her, okay, here's how you step away from Joe Biden if given the opportunity. Maybe they have practiced it with her. I don't know. But if they haven't, then shame on them. And if they have and she still doesn't know how to answer that question, then shame on all of them. I mean, this is exactly the Kamala Harris that we knew was in there. We knew was just waiting for the opportunity. And it doesn't matter if it's a difficult interview or an easy interview. She can't handle it. Look at what she did on 60 Minutes. They had to ask her three times. Don't you think it was a mistake to just throw the doors wide open at our border and just let everybody in? And you could see in her eyes that once the first wave of talking points don't work, she's got nothing left. Yeah. You can tell. She's just petrified. She cannot be allowed to sit in the big chair. No way. She can't be allowed to.
She is petrified, but I'd even add to that, she seems offended that it wasn't enough to deliver the talking points and move on, as if, how dare you question, you know, aren't you in on this game? Don't you know how this is played? You ask a question, I give a canned talking point word salad response, and then we move on. For some reason, Whitaker decided in that interview, not, we haven't seen that really from any journalists who have had the opportunity to speak to her, to push back a little bit.
Yeah, and you know that something that is coming out about CBS, what they did when manipulating that interview, the length parts that they teased out, or snippets of it, aired, they were longer, and she gave tremendous word salad answers that meandered around. And you can tell that when she launches an answer, she has no idea where that answer is going to eventually land. Like, she doesn't know where she's going with that. But then when the segment actually aired on Monday night on 60 Minutes, her answers were different from what they had teased out. And now it appears, and I think President Trump is onto this, it appears that they have moved answers that she gave to different questions and put them into different spots in the interview to make her sound more coherent, actually cutting and pasting different parts of the interview together to make sure that she sounds like she gave a coherent answer to a certain question.
It's outrageous.
That turns out to be, it's why we have demanded as a campaign that we want to see the full transcript unedited. Because if CBS did that and cut and pasted answers, then moved them around to match up with different questions, that's a scandal in journalism that I don't think we have ever seen.
We're speaking really with Tim Murtaugh with the Donald Trump campaign. He's a Trump advisor. Donald Trump has run in 2016, 2020, and now 2024. You've been with him through much of this journey. What do you say about the candidate 2024 Trump compared to what you have seen before? Because people are asking, Kamala, how would you be different than Joe Biden? It's a very fair question. She has no good answer for it. Is Donald Trump 2024 the same as 2020 and 2016, or is there some evolution there?
Well, I mean, I think everybody changes when you go through all the experience that he has. And I think the thing that might be, let's take a look at recent history here. I think the thing that would change anybody is, how about two attempts on his life?
Yeah.
There was one where, I mean, he escapes death by mere millimeters at the first rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. And then we know that there was a gunman waiting for him on the golf course. And it would have been a second assassination attempt that time was thwarted before any assassin's bullets were let fly there. That would change anybody. I think that he is focused. He's the same guy that he's always been, but he is really focused. I would say what has changed is really the polling and the position where he is right now in 2024 compared to where he ever was in 2016, the race that he won, of course, and beat Hillary in 2020, which was marred by COVID and all that. But he has never enjoyed the position in the polls that he has right now, particularly this close to Election Day. I mean, here we are. We are 27 days from Election Day, and he is ahead nationally in some polls, which is astounding because, you know, those polls include places like California and New York, and he is absolutely crushing it in all the battleground states. And if you want to focus down on Pennsylvania, which everyone agrees pretty much is the key of all the battleground states, he's winning in Pennsylvania, too. And so headed into the home stretch here, I got to say the real difference is this: we are winning. And if the election were today, he would be the 47th president of the United States. And we got to keep our foot on the gas because we have no idea what craziness is going to come flying out of the Democrats or out of the media or anybody. It's their position that they can't allow Donald Trump to win. And he is in a position to win right now.
Yeah.
And they can't have it.
Do you believe the polls? that we see? I know there's internal polls, and a lot of people are suggesting that the Harris campaign is doing this media blitz and showing up in certain places around the country because their internal polls look really, really terrible. But we're served polls as the public that I generally assume are used to influence and manipulate the American people in large part. Do you believe what the polls that the American people are seeing?
Well, first, you are right. The only polls that we really do trust are the ones that we pay for, because we don't spend piles of money on polling to be lied to. So we know what the circumstances are, and I'm telling you this, we feel really good. We also know, just based on her behavior and what they have her doing, that Harris and company do not feel good. That's why they have her out doing this media blitz that has turned into an abject failure. Now, that said, you can look inside a lot of the public polls and find out what they're doing wrong. Like, they have to look at what the electorate actually looked like in 2020 before they try to project what the results are going to be in 2024. If you have too many Democrats in your sample compared to how they actually voted in 2020, then your poll's going to be off. In a state like Pennsylvania, where we have gained so much ground in the game, in the contest of registering new voters, there by Election Day, there are going to be about 400,000 more Republicans on the rolls in Pennsylvania as it relates to Democrats. We have made up so much ground that I don't think that anyone is factoring into the polls as well. The electorate on Election Day in 2024 in places like Pennsylvania and everywhere else where they register by party is going to be wildly different than it was even in 2020. We have had so much success in registering new voters. I don't believe that's being captured by the public polls. We reflect it in our own, and that's part of the reason why we feel so good. This race is far from over. The Democrats are never going to. It is their position that they can't allow Donald Trump to win, and they're going to try to stop him by any means necessary. But right now, we feel as good as we possibly can, and I would say, to quote Donald Trump, fight, fight, fight. That's the only option right now.
Amen to that. Last question before we let you go. As you have worked with this campaign, with the president, and you understand the inner workings of him as a candidate, but also as an administrator, is Donald Trump, how compare his preparation, his preparedness, I should say, should he take office in January of 2025? How quickly is he ready to get stuff done for the American people in January of 2025 comparative to the last two opportunities he might have had?
Well, I would think at the moment that he says, so help me God, and at that moment he is the president of the United States again, he's going to start working immediately. There will be executive orders and all sorts of things already prepared and ready for him to go. First thing he's going to do, he has said, is unleash American energy. That will be a direct broadside on this massive problem of inflation that we've been dealing with thanks to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. You unleash American energy, you start to drive the price of energy down immediately. World markets pay attention to what you're doing. Markets start to move right away. And that will immediately begin to alleviate the pressure that people are feeling from immigration. He's going to attack the economic problems that we've got. He's going to attack the high cost of everything, the high cost of fuel, the high cost of groceries, the high cost of housing. A lot of the things that drive the cost of housing are the prices of the materials, like lumber. Has anyone taken a look at the price of lumber recently? That is also largely driven by fuel prices. Fuel prices drive everything. If you attack that problem at your first moment of opportunity, contrast that to what Biden and Kamala Harris did. They did exactly the opposite on their first opportunity. They drove the price of energy up.
Yep.
By reducing the exploration and production here domestically. I mean, it's radically different worldviews, and that's why I know the biggest thing that advantages us here in this election is the people who have lived through both administrations. They know what the economy was like when Trump was president, and they know what it's like under Biden and Harris, and that is an easy choice.
Amen. You gave me goosebumps there, Tim Murtaugh. Thank you very much. And the American energy thing is so huge. It was the number one priority to crush it for the Joe Biden administration, and as we hear from Harris, there's not much anything different that she would have done. She can't even think of anything. Donald Trump will get all the fires burning and quickly. Thank you, Tim Murtaugh, for being with us today. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Annie, always happy to be with you, and I'd love to come back.
All right. We'll have you. We'll take you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Tim Murtaugh is a Donald Trump advisor, Washington Times opinion columnist, and co-host of the Line Drive podcast. Definitely check out his book. He has a very interesting life. He's very open about it in Swing Hard, which is the name of his book. And we're very grateful. He's a very high up advisor for Donald Trump, and he knows what he's talking about. And when he's talking about the inner polls that they have that they pay for, like he said, we're not going to pay to have somebody blow smoke and lie to them about what's actually going on. Tim Murtaugh says they feel pretty good. That's my favorite poll, and I haven't even seen what they're looking at. Thank you, Tim. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Ryan Wiggins is going to host Wiggins America once again with ways restaurants can change to stop hurting our feelings. I don't know what that means. Ryan Wiggins can't stop talking about food, and it's his segment, so we let him do it. It makes him feel better, and it makes him feel good when you're there, too, cheering him along on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Are restaurants really hurting our feelings? I don't know. We'll be right back. And I'm